Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, Louise Henry from Go Laurel Highlands hosts Laurel Highlands Happenings here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net.
This podcast is sponsored by Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, a property on the UNESCO World Heritage List and entrusted to the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. For tours and educational programs, visit fallingwater.org. Also, thanks to Stallstown Flax Scutching Festival. Glad to be back for 2021 and can't wait to welcome you to the festival on September the 18th and 19th. Great demonstrations, entertainment, food and friends. See you there. Hello, I'm Louise Henry and welcome to another episode of Laurel Highlands Happenings, featured on Westmoreland Saturday Morning on Westmoreland Gold, 98.7 FM and 1480 WCNS. This episode is part of the Laurel Highlands Happenings podcast series. Well, September is here, and with it brings an abundance of full fun and activities in the Laurel Highlands. Over the next few weeks, there will be plenty of fall festivals to attend, pumpkin patches to visit to find that perfect jack-o'-lantern, and of course, stunning autumnal scenery to enjoy as you drive through the region. To find out what's happening and where, or discover the best leaf peeping drive, visit golaurelhighlands.com or follow us on Facebook at Go Laurel Highlands. Our show today will hopefully get you in the mood for fall. Today, my guests are Beth Hutchinson of Scare Tours and Mark Ware, Executive Director of Somerset Historical Centre, the venue for one of the best festivals in the Laurel Highlands, Mountain Craft Days. But first, we're going to chat with Beth from Scare Tours and find out what it's all about. Good morning, Beth. Welcome to Laurel Highlands Happenings. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi there.
So, Beth, Scare Tours, tell us about it. What exactly is Scare Tours? Tell us your story.
Scare Tours actually came from an original origins of Scare, our paranormal group. Back in 2008, myself and Josh and a few friends and family of ours, we decided to form this paranormal group, and it started as a hobby. So from the hobby, we had a few requests from residential clients who wanted us to do consultations at their homes on a private level. And then from there, we decided to do services for free, and it grew into where locations were asking us to do tours and guided ghost hunts, and of course with that we were doing it on a volunteer basis, so now we're into Scare Tours where we can actually charge and help with the funding for locations that may potentially be haunted. So anything that people pay for in ticket sales, we share with the locations as well.
Oh, that's cool. That's nice. So really, it's grown out of a hobby, like so many businesses do. It started off as an interest, and it's kind of just evolved and grown to the point where, you know, this is keeping you really busy. Probably as busy as your full time jobs, and you think, yeah, I've got to start charging for this a little bit because it's a lot of work, I'd imagine.
Oh yeah, definitely a lot of time, a lot of money. That's for sure.
And probably quite a bit of equipment too. I'm thinking paranormal activity, so investigations and equipment. You probably got to lug a lot of that around too.
Oh my goodness, the investment in the equipment we have, it's a lot.
Yeah. Okay, so that's how you got started. Tell us about the tours part of it. You say you have different locations. How does the tours work? Because you don't actually have like a venue yourself, do you? You go out to different places and you offer tours. So just give us a little bit more of an indication of how that goes.
So if there is a location that is interested in our services, we offer our event planning services for free for them. So let's say in a location, they consider themselves haunted, they have some stories, some history. We go in together and we plan an event. And some of what we can do is we can do walking ghost tours, or we can even do a guided ghost hunt. So people can come in and get to handle some of the equipment and get to actually experience a real life ghost hunt at these locations that they may not have access to on a normal basis.
So it's really like the paranormal sort of TV shows where you see them using all that equipment.
Yes.
So you actually offer this so the public can actually do this. Mm-hmm. They can actually use the equipment themselves. Yep. and maybe capture a voice or a noise or something.
Yep, and they can actually, where instead of buying the $1,000 piece of equipment, we actually let them touch it, and with guides, of course. So we let them handle it with us around to show them how to use it. So maybe, especially if they have their own paranormal group, might be something they might want to invest in themselves.
Okay, that's really cool that you let them do that. So can you give us what locations have you been to? I mean, you're based in Somerset, right? So
yes.
Somerset County. So are most of the locations in that county, or do you go beyond that?
We have gone beyond that. Down in Frostburg, Maryland, we've done the Gunter Hotel, and we're actually in plans to do an event there here in the future. We do a lot of work with Grand Midway Hotel up in Windber.
I know it well.
Yes, that is one of our favorite places. So, yeah.
Okay, right. Lots of activity there, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. So do you do anything with Somerset Historical Center?
Not yet. However, we are members there, and we do a lot of our research there and at some of the local libraries. So.
Ah, okay. Do you do any private homes?
As of now, not yet, especially with COVID. We started the business, of course, in 2020, and we've been kind of lacking with the getting into private residentials.
Well,
right now.
I totally understand that too. Everyone's got to have a comfort level, especially. But post-pandemic, maybe that's something. Listeners are listening to this and thinking, oh, well, we have some weird activity in our old house, or maybe they could reach out to you and you could investigate. You could do that in the future, right?
Yes. Now, that, if it's something that is on a private level, we would actually fall under Scare Paranormal, which is our paranormal group, where Scare Tours is on the public side.
Ah.
So that would be more for the businesses, the places open to the public. So that's where we kind of split that.
So when you do the tours and it's open to the public, are they limited in number? Do you have a certain amount per group I guess it depends on the buildings and who you can,
yes,
how many people you can fit in.
The size of the location is definitely the factor there.
Okay.
We've had as little as 6 people in a location to as much as 50.
Wow.
So
50,
yeah,
at once.
Yeah. And right. Well, we divide the groups, so if 50 people were to come out, we would do groups of maybe 10. And
more
we
manageable.
Rotate them. Yep.
And sort of rotate them through different rooms or different sites on that.
Yep. And that if property. There's one spot, we'll have a guide there and they would explain what's going on. Then we rotate people through different areas in the location. So gives them a little mix of what they can experience in a location.
Ooh, okay. So any of these tours that you're doing in the future, how do you let people know, the public know, that they're going ahead? Do you have them on your website? Do you put them up on social media?
We actually do both. So we have a website, which is scaretoursusa.com, and we post a lot of our events on our event link. But we're mostly active on Facebook online, and that's with Scare Tours LLC. And we are a little bit we do have an Instagram account, so that is where we post a lot of our photos,
right?
And that's where we're limited at right now. So
okay, so folks, if you're interested in just doing this whole paranormal activity investigation stuff, is to keep checking in on that website and the social media page.
Yes.
To see what's going on, what you're doing. So I have to say, we are, you know, this September, we're moving into probably the busiest time of the year for
yes.
you, really. You know, October is just around the corner. I'm assuming you've probably got tours and events planned from now through to the end of October and Halloween.
Yes, almost every weekend, it seems. So the kickoff of the season, of course, is the world's largest ghost hunt. That is our kickoff.
Hang on, the world's largest ghost hunt. I've never heard of this. Okay, explain, because this sounds really intriguing.
Okay, so the world's largest ghost hunt started back in 2016 by a group of paranormal enthusiasts. One of the names that are at the head of this event is Maria Schmidt, and she is a wonderful lady. She's actually based out in Ohio. And Brian Kano, who actually was on Haunted Collector, who... that show is actually hosted by John Zaffis. So for anyone who knows the paranormal shows, they actually did an episode up at Grand Midway Hotel. And Brian Kano actually incorporated an experiment, what he calls the Bridge Experiment, into the world's largest ghost hunt. Now, that is where, when they formed this, it was supposed to be for historical preservation. So all these locations from all around the world could come together on this one day. It's the last Saturday of September every year, which is actually National Ghost Hunting Day. It is an official national holiday.
Wow. Okay. So I didn't even know this either. So National Ghost Hunting Day is September the 25th.
Yes, this year.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Why that particular day? Why not Halloween?
Yep, they figured Halloween is when paranormal people get busy. It's as soon as October hits, they're doing their own tours, their own things. Halloween, they want to enjoy Halloween. So when you start at the end of September, it kicks off the Halloween
season.
Correct.
Yes. Yes, so right. Okay, so go on. Tell us about National Ghost Hunting Day.
So all these locations from all around the world with all these different paranormal groups and individuals come together on this one day to live stream their ghost hunts into this event, which the command center is this year at the Conjuring House in Rhode Island.
Oh, okay.
And the Metaphysical Center, which Brian Kano is hosting with Dustin Perry, is over in Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia. So these different locations live stream for an hour online on this day, and those links can be seen at nationalghosthuntingday.com. And the locations are listed there with all the links for the live stream, and people can watch it. And if they don't see it live, they can watch it later because it is being recorded.
Oh, that's brilliant. Because sometimes you can't always do that live streaming stuff because life gets in the way, right? When you know. But okay, so I'm assuming you're doing some fun stuff for this.
Yes.
So tell us what you're doing.
We have two locations. Okay. So the one location, now this one's just the live streaming one, is at the Haunted Hollow in Rockwood. And that is with us and two other paranormal groups. One is Freelance Paranormal with Rick Bowden, and the other one is with Joe Weigel from AHS Paranormal. And he's going to be there at the Haunted Hollow as well with the performers from the Haunted Hollow. So we're going to do this live stream.
Okay. Oh, that's really cool. So so live stream, there's no public going to be, there's no admission,
nothing. Not for that
one. It's private, it's you guys, you're doing the live streaming. So what about the other location you're doing, which is also in the Laurel Highlands?
Yes, the other location is at Red Lantern Bed and Breakfast up in Myersdale. Mm-hmm. And that one is open to the public. We are selling tickets. We are opening up for 10 participants. And it's $65 a person, and the tickets can be purchased online on our website.
Okay, and what will the participants be doing? Are they going to be creeping around with paranormal investigation sort of equipment, trying to capture anything they can hear or find or see?
Definitely, and it's actually a challenge. So we have a list of challenges that they would have to perform throughout the evening, and we actually have a point system planned. Whoever gets the most points wins a grand prize.
Okay, so it's a bit like when you say challenges, I'm thinking like those escape rooms. Is it similar to that?
No. For example, one might have to go into a room and ask some questions all by themselves.
Oh,
with
I
an audio
see.
Recorder. Maybe one might get to mess with another piece of equipment and see if they can get some interaction with it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So, and this is happening September the 25th.
Yes.
What time does it kick off?
Red Lantern will be starting at 8 o'clock at night and will go over midnight into 4 in the morning. So it'll actually go till the end of the ghost hunting day day itself.
It's like all night into the wee hours. Okay. All right, folks, those who are listening that want to get involved with all this paranormal activity and see what you can find. You can find out more information at, tell us again, Beth, where can we find it all?
ScareToursUSA.com.
Okay, brilliant. And you're also on Facebook?
Yes, we are on Scare Tours LLC.
Brilliant. Okay, this has been great. It's new stuff I've never heard of. I've learned a lot today. Thank you for being our guest and good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Before we move on to our next guest, we're going to give a quick shout out to our awesome sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, a property on the UNESCO World Heritage List and entrusted to the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. For tours and educational programs, visit fallingwater.org. Also thanks to Stallstown Flax Sketching Festival, glad to be back for 2021 and can't wait to welcome you to the festival on September the 18th and 19th. Great demonstrations, entertainment, food and friends. See you there. To learn more about Pennsylvania's Laurel Highlands, visit GoLaurelHighlands.com or follow us on Facebook at Go Laurel Highlands. Welcome to Laurel Highlands Happenings. Our next guest is Mark Ware, Executive Director of Somerset Historical Centre. Good morning, Mark. Good to have you on the show again.
Good morning.
So, I have asked you on the show because it is fall festival season and Somerset Historical Centre, I'm sure, is very busy preparing for the 51st Mountain Craft Days Festival. So, let's start. Tell us a little bit about the festival. You know, what's the dates, the location, and everything else?
Okay, well, the dates are September 10th, 11th, and 12th from 10 till 5 each day. And we are about 4 miles north of Somerset on Route 985. Very easy to find. Just follow the signs to direct you to the site.
Okay. So, Mountain Craft Days is a staple of the fall festivals in the Laurel Highlands. And as I just said, it's its 51st year. Can you give us a brief history of the event, you know, from the foundations right up to like the present day?
Sure. It all started around 1970 when Betty Halp and a few other persons here at the Historical Society thought that the old crafts were being lost, and they decided to get together and try to preserve some of those old practices. At that time, it started out with just five artisans, and now it's grown to about 75 to 80 artisans demonstrating traditional crafts. And from day one, it was based on you had to demonstrate your craft and share your skills with the people that come, as well as sell your products.
Okay, so now a lot of these artisans and people that do these traditional crafts, tell us who you have coming. I've been to the festival several times. I love it. I love your festival. But for those listening that have never attended, tell us the kind of crafts that are demonstrated at this festival.
Well, from the very beginning, we started to put the crafts throughout the wooded area and the outdoor area instead of in a big building or in a big tent. So you're scattered throughout forest and meadow, you might say, and the crafts are scattered throughout that area. And we have some of the crafts that normally you don't see, such as coopering. We do have blacksmithing, and we have needlepoint. We have our lime kiln in operation. We have tinsmiths, stone cutters, log hewers, a good variety of the traditional crafts, and something for everyone.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what I really enjoy about the festival is that you can start off and you slowly weave your way through the trees, and there's lots of different vendors and sutlers there, and they're dressed in sort of period garb too, and they are demonstrating these crafts, and you can buy things. It's great to see the blacksmiths. It's great to see the tinsmith and all the wonderful array of tin products that he makes too. And then moving on, and like you see, the log hewing too. It's a really wonderful educational day, as well as a fun day.
That's right. Friday is designated for school students' day. Schools and homeschoolers can come. It's a reduced admission that day. And we try to do as much educational things as we can. So the artisans are all geared to talk with the students and explain their craft and share their expertise with them. We also have an apprenticeship program where we try to teach and perpetuate those traditional crafts. The money raised at our auction is used to train people or expand their knowledge or buy them tools to get started in a craft. And many of our artisans started out as apprentices and have developed their craft from that.
That's a really cool idea. I didn't know you did that. That is really good to know for those that really want to do a traditional craft, start it out as a career. That is really good to know. So apart from the vendors, the craftspeople, you have other activities going on in the festivals. Can you just share a bit about that too?
Sure. The entertainment is mostly music throughout the wooded area. And it's not a big stage or a big public address system that they use or amplifiers. They're situated in a wood in small pods, and you can just sit and listen to the music as it would have been played 100, 200 years ago or whatever. We have dulcimer music with Sam Rossetti. He's one of the top dulcimer makers in the United States and musicians. We have a group of people that come together to play dulcimer. They're called Chords of Praise, just community members. We have bagpipers. We have high strung, which is a Scottish instrument group, And we have square dancers doing the old-fashioned square dancing, and they get the visitors involved and teach them how to square dance as well.
That is very cool. I've done some square dancing, some contra dancing, and it's a fun thing to do once you're not getting yourself in a pickle, going around the wrong way. But I love doing that kind of thing too. So yeah, the music is lovely. I've sat down and listened to some, like, they've played 18th century music, and it's just so nice just to sit back and just enjoy for a moment. Now, you're also serving refreshments at the festival, and I know you're known for your wholesome mountain food. So tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, our food vendors are all nonprofit organizations from the area here, and they're featuring some food items that they're most famous for, from ham pot pie to funnel cakes. The Somerset County maple producers are serving maple sugar and that toothsome spotsa treat, which is a gooey taffy maple treat in Somerset County. We have buckwheat cakes, apple dumplings, waffles, kibasi, soups, kettle soups, paluski, fried mush, corn on the cob, barbecue chicken. So we have a great variety, and all the money's raised goes to help those nonprofit organizations in the region.
Oh, that's really good. And the food is very scrumptious, I assure you. It's I've enjoyed your soups in the past. So aside from the festival, which folks can enjoy, can people also go inside the historical centre this year, just bearing in mind with the whole COVID thing? Because I know you, in the past, you've had the historical centre, you've got a great exhibit in there, and you also have other dwellings on the grounds too. So can folks explore those?
The structures will all be open, yes. The festival is really known for its outdoor venue and throughout the woods and fields, but the historic structures will be open. We did move most of the artisans outdoors this year just to, so they're not in too tight of an area because of COVID. But yes, the historic structures, the covered bridge, the cider press, the maple sugar camp, and the visitor center are all open.
Oh, fantastic. What about, is it Hoffman's Barn, where you've got that lovely general store and all sorts of transportation artifacts? That's open?
Yes, Hoffman Hall is open. And in fact, we're converting that into a maple museum to showcase Pennsylvania's maple history. That will be open in 2022. And we also have Fluke Hall up there, which is full of farm implements. And we have retired farmers from the area that explain how the equipment worked and the various farm processes and life on a farm when they were actually young, and how it compares to today's modern farming techniques.
Oh, that's really good. I didn't know that. So that's really good to hear. So for the folks listening, I think, gosh, this sounds like a really good festival. Just let's recap. How do they find out more information about the festival online?
They can go to SomersetHistoricalCenter.org is our website. We have a Facebook presence. And Four Fall Festivals, of course, you can follow that as well. We're on with the Four Fall Festival website as well.
Okay, and the Mountain Craft Days is going to be on, what's the dates again?
September 10th, 11th, and 12th from 10 till 5.
Okay.
Followed the signs for parking.
Brilliant. So that's good to know. Thank you for that. Now, we have a little bit of time. Do you want to, are you having any other fall programs? Are you doing anything for Halloween, anything like that? Because I know in the past you have.
Yeah, we have trick-or-treating throughout the historic areas and hay rides and cider making and popcorn making in October that's coming up. I don't have the dates for that in front of me. But that will be our next program. And then in the first Sunday in December, we have our ethnic traditions dinner, where we showcase ethnic traditions from throughout the area. We have residents from Thailand or Italy that share a famous dish. We sample the foods from those regions, and we learn about their culture and heritage. We usually feature about four different nationalities that day. It's a great evening of fun and food and learning.
Okay, so now any of these information will be posted up on your website and your Facebook.
That is correct.
On Somerset Historical Center.
.org.
Okay, and Facebook, it's just Somerset Historical Center, right? I think.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. This is great. Anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up?
Oh, I think that covers it. I hope to see everybody here. I haven't missed one of these in 50 years. I hope the 51st will be as exciting as some of those early ones. So
absolutely. It's as I said earlier, it's one of my favorite Laurel Highlands folk festivals. It was I really enjoy it, just learning all the traditional crafts, and I always find things to buy. I love the tinsmith. He makes some great products. So it's definitely worth a visit for sure for this festival. Mark, it's been a pleasure to chat to you as always. Good luck with the festival. I hope you have great weather for it, a great turnout, and just good luck for the rest of the year.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thanks.
Before we wrap up today, I'm just going to do a shout out to a few of the other fall festivals that are happening in the Laurel Highlands. One that is actually starting today is the Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival. They are back. They kick off their season today, and they are running through to Sunday, October the 10th. It's every weekend, and just like any Renaissance festival, you've got the jousting, you've got the entertainment, you've got music, you've probably got the turkey legs. Lots of fun for all the family to enjoy. And that's out at West Newton. That's Pittsburgh Ren Festival, and that starts this weekend. Another one that's a great festival is Farmers and Threshermen's Jubilee, and that's out at Rockwood. They start September the 8th, and they will run through to September the 12th. If you enjoy looking at the steam engines, the old antique farm equipment, see the tractor pulls, all that kind of stuff, the all rustic farming equipment and history, that is the Farmers and Threshermen's Jubilee out at Rockwood, and that's September the 8th and 12th. Another great one is the Ligonier Highland Games. That's one day only, September the 18th. That's a Saturday, and that's the annual gathering of the clans. And if you want to go and listen to the piping, the fiddling, the drumming, watch them tossing the caber, the Highland dancing, the mass bands, and all the wonderful Scottish stuff, Ligonier Highland Games is the one to go to, and that is September the 18th, and that is in Idlewild Park. The amusement park will not be open. It's just a section of it. That's more or less what we have time for. I'd just like to say that this podcast has been sponsored by Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, a property on the UNESCO World Heritage List and entrusted to the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. For tours and educational programs, visit fallingwater.org. Also, thanks to Storrstown Flax Sketching Festival. Glad to be back for 2021 and can't wait to welcome you to the festival on September the 18th and 19th. Great demonstrations, entertainment, food and friends. See you there. To learn more about the Pennsylvania's Laurel Highlands, do visit golaurelhighlands.com or follow us on Facebook at Go Laurel Highlands. You have been listening to another episode of Laurel Highlands Happenings on Westmoreland Saturday morning on Westmoreland Gold 98.7 FM and 1480 WCNS. This episode is part of the Laurel Highlands Happenings podcast series, and all events and businesses mentioned today can be found at golaurelhighlands.com. And if you are active on social media, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.